This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is another podcast of Worldwide Wave, the international LGBT news and current affairs show, every week on Australia's first LGBT radio station, Joy 94.9.
Surfing the globe, bringing you news, views, and current affairs for the LGBT community. This is the Worldwide Wave.
That's right, folks. This is Worldwide Wave, Joy's international news and current affairs show for the LGBTI community, taking you around the globe one country at a time. A big thank you to JJ for the hits and Richard for the latest local news. On the Worldwide Wave panel tonight, we have Matt.
Hello. Hello, Alex.
And myself, Alex.
Now, tonight we view trans issues through the eyes of an Indian-born English performance artist. This self-described awkward child is now an international artist whose works look at transformations, gender politics, and queer culture using subversive text, cabaret, and comedy.
As a child, how did family life influence their current day activism?
How important is the raising of trans issues and visibility in these performances?
Outside of Midsummer, what is their special connection to Melbourne? Bringing a funny and positive message of trans life to this year's Midsummer Festival, tonight we are joined by Krishna Istha, performer, live artist and theatre maker, coming to Melbourne for the Midsummer show Beast at Arts House North Melbourne Town Hall.
Worldwide Rap. It's Romana Schlesinger from the Rainbow Pride Bratislava in Slovakia for Worldwide Wave. You hug it all you got, I'll make you wanna say. Turn it home. Turn it home. I got fever.
That was J-Ho by the Pussycat Dolls, following our theme tonight of somewhat Indian or Bollywood-themed remade or other such.
Other
songs.
Artists have picked up on the whole Bollywood excitement. Bollywood is just so huge.
It is, and I've just come back from India, and it's just amazing, the whole music scene over there. It's like another world. Yeah.
We're very interested in your views tonight on anything to do with India, Australia, Midsummer, whatever. You can message us on 0427 Joy 949 or on air at joy.org.au. A few messages coming in over Facebook. The story we posted about the Chinese TV censors who they censored a male star because he had earrings. And they said they were protecting traditional gender roles. Selena says, What people wear earrings, and men have been wearing jewellery for years.
Yes, and no doubt Chinese men for thousands of years. Yeah.
Yeah, so time to grow up.
Yes. So,
taking you around the globe, one country at a time. This is your Fun Fast Facts.
We thought tonight we're talking about a lot of trans issues, and sometimes there's a bit of confusion around language that is used. So we thought, look, for Fun Fast Facts, let's just run through a few of the terms and clear things up a bit, I guess.
Absolutely. So starting off, we've got cisgender. This one myself I was often a bit confused about. This term is used to describe an individual whose gender identity and expression matches the stereotypical societal characteristics related to sex, to the sex assigned at birth.
So it's really, that stereotypical, is it heterosexual, heteronormative, all those sorts of things.
Exactly.
Cross-dressing, so the big difference between cross-dressing and a trans person. Cross-dressing is about dressing in another gender for entertainment, for pleasure. It's not necessarily linked to gender identity or sexual orientation, and not indicative of gender dysphoria.
Yes, so one can be, in a sense, a heterosexual man who happens to have a hobby of dressing up in female clothes, but still be happily heterosexual in sexual activity, which
absolutely
is, I think, something that people don't quite understand at times. Next one is gender fluidity. This is the exhibition of a variability of gender identity expression. Gender fluid people don't feel restricted by typical societal norms and expectations and might identify and express themselves as masculine, feminine, or along
a spectrum. Or it can change over time.
Exactly. So
I find that becoming more, if not more present, certainly more visible.
Yeah.
Whether or not a younger generation, those sorts of that conformity doesn't seem to be as pressing an issue.
Which leads on to the next one, which is gender non-conforming. So this this occurs when gender expression, gender roles, or both differ from societal norms and expectations. So someone who doesn't really want to fit into the defined categories.
Then we have trans man or trans woman, which is describing in a very gender binary manner a transgender individual's gender identity or expression. So a trans woman is an individual whose sex at birth was assigned a male, but whose gender identity is female, and vice versa for trans man. Interesting. Not all transgender people use these sorts of descriptions. And in fact, sort of trans has become a more overarching general term, I guess.
Yes. And finally, we've got gender dysphoria, which is more the idea that one feels discomfort or distress that might accompany being a difference from the gender identity or assigned at birth, or sex assigned at birth. So that's that sort of psychological condition that one feels one's in the wrong or has been assigned wrong to the body. So on this note, I had a very interesting conversation with an Indian gentleman on my recent trip, who used the unfortunate term she-male, and I had to explain to him. I mean, he was referring to the hijra, which is the sort of traditional third sex. And I said, well, you know, in modern parlance, that's sort of, we really need to use the word transsexual, and that doesn't necessarily always define who these people are. And he said, no, she-male, just man who dresses woman. And I said, well, that's not necessarily an expression of their sexuality or their identity. That's a much more complex issue. But I think
language is important.
It is. And I said, please, whatever you do with the Western people, at least don't use the term she-male. It's a derogatory term, still used in pornography, you know, in a very bad way. So, but hopefully I got across the message.
Want to hear more? Find out about LGBT life in over 100 countries. Download free podcasts of this show. Subscribe to iTunes or follow us on Twitter. Visit joy.org.au/worldwidewave.
Krishna Isna is a performer, a live artist and a theatre maker. Their performance work looks at transformations, both physical and political, also gender politics, queer culture, and using subversive text, cabaret elements and comedy. Krishna was a member of the National Theatre of England's Young Studio and named as one to watch on the Rainbow List 2015, which is the 100 most influential LGBTI people in the UK. And Krishna is coming to Melbourne, presenting the show Beast as a part of this year's Midsummer Festival. We asked Krishna how they got their start as a performer and if they were a theatrical child.
Not really. I was more of an awkward child, as most queer weirdos are. I guess I got into it because I was really artsy and creative, and I knew I wanted to do something artful. And I got really interested in set design and designing for theatre. And I sort of fell into finding like the genre of live art and performance art through there. And I realized that I was more interested in creating and performing than I was just designing, because I didn't think it said much and I wanted to say more. So it was sort of just organic, really. I fell into it.
When you were a child, because you grew up in India, did you have any sense of, for example, the Hijra community or the LGBT community in general?
A little bit, but not a lot. People didn't name queerness as a thing. It was around, but it wasn't a thing that people spoke of, because until very recently it was illegal to be gay. And of course, we've had like the third gender passports for a while, and people know that trans people exist, but it's a very warped understanding of it. Like I remember when I was younger at school, people often said, "Oh, hijras or trans women are just men pretending to be women," and I remembered that only like a few years ago, and I was like, "Oh, that's such a warped understanding of what trans means." So it was around, but there was no sense of like there was no words to put to feelings or words to put to what I saw.
You have since, though, found some words. Something I read, a piece you wrote for Five Dials, you said, "This is how I often feel about my gender. It is to be consumed by others and needs to make sense to them for it to have any value." Tell us what you meant by that.
I think it was in context to... I guess the idea that often transness, or you're like a trans person's idea of their gender and the way they express themselves, is often for the view of someone else. It's for other people to understand. Like, the reason I've got to call myself all these different things is because
people think it's not the norm, and I have to name myself, and I have to put these words or these identities onto me for the benefit of someone else. So I wasn't saying that my transness exists for other people. What I was trying to say was the reason I have to call myself trans, or the way I represent myself, whatever way it is often, it almost seems like I have to fit into a box because it has to be conceivable for people, especially when I'm making art. It's quite hard to not be undefined because people find the need to box everything.
And that was Krishna Issa, international performance artist in Melbourne for the show Beast as part of the Midsummer Festival.
It's interesting Krishna made the comment, the exact same comments that you just mentioned, the exact same ideas of how to identify, how to name trans people in India, and yet that was probably 20-odd years ago and you've experienced the same thing.
Yeah, and a total ignorance of the different layers, different interpretations, different expressions people have. So yes, that was the thing. So coming up, we hear Krishna's views on educating the public about trans people versus representing the community. This is Worldwide Wave.
This is Douglas.
And this is Paula.
From Kaleidoscope Australia Human Rights Foundation, keeping a watchful eye on LGBTI rights across Asia and the Pacific.
On the Worldwide Wave.
This ain't gonna be easy.
Was of course work by Kelly Rowland, and if you did listen very carefully, that there was a sort of Indian beat running through
and
it,
that,
so you might be wondering
sitar type sound
the
sitar, in the back,
yes, the instrument
sounds great.
Yes.
Love it. I had a message in on that Indonesian story from William. This was the mayor of Indonesia using the military to hunt down LGBTI people. He says, sick morons, glad I don't visit Indonesia. It's one of those things we've had discussions about before where should you spend your tourism dollars differently based on a country, the way a country treats their LGBTI population? Should you not go there?
Well, I've had similar thoughts about some countries in Central and East Africa. However, I'm a bit hypocritical because I have been to Indonesia and I love the country. And the thing is, I do know that there are a lot of people there who are desperate for the country to sort of liberalise and are doing so. And in big cities like Jakarta and, of course, the island of Bali, it's a very different place. So I don't know, you know, if you just sort of black ban a country, does it really help those people struggling to sort of win their rights?
Very true.
Most of these stories do come from, I'm afraid, to Martin and Arche. We need to keep that into perspective. It's like the South in the US 20 years ago, you know.
If you've got an opinion, send us a message, 0427 Joy 949 or on air at joy.org.au. Tonight, we're looking at India through the eyes of one of the performers coming out here for Midsummer. Krishna Isna is a trans performance artist coming to Melbourne, and trans issues come up a lot in Krishna's performances. We asked how important this was to them as an artist.
Quite important. I mean, I do loads of different sorts of performance, and it's not always the main focus, but often it works its way into all these different shows or scripts because, well, it's a big part of me. It's I walk through the world in a very specific way. So it often makes its way into it because it's so woven into my experience of everything. But also I think representation is important, and I always do want to put story of queerness or transness out there because we don't often get to see intricate trans narratives because it's often always written by cis people or straight people that don't really have an understanding of how varied the trans experience can be. So I do often try, and I think it is important to incorporate my transness into the art.
And that can sort of break down some barriers or open people up to new ideas, push their boundaries, I guess?
Yeah, of course, yeah. Definitely it's an educational tool, but I feel representation for other trans people is more important for me as a person making art than it is to educate people, because I think there's other ways to educate people and there's other things and there's other people doing that, and sometimes I find that I like to make work that speaks to my people directly.
You also do stand-up comedy in your performances. Is that an easier way to break down concepts that some people might not fully understand?
Yeah, definitely. So stand-up's a new thing for me. This new show, Beast, that I'm making, was going to be at Midsummer at the end of the month. It's part stand-up comedy, but that's a new form for me. I haven't done stand-up a lot. I've only started trying it this year. But the reason I got attracted to the form was because it's quite accessible to an audience. You can say loads of intricate things and people are open to listening because it's funny. It's, you know, it's making someone laugh, or it's a language that loads of different people understand. Whereas my background is from performance art, where often sometimes things that you're doing might not translate or might not be fully accessible for an audience that's not from the art world. So I think stand-up has a lot of power in being able to say things, the intricate things that an experience that people might not have heard of or understand entirely otherwise.
I get the impression you do have a lot to say because you are quite unashamedly political as well in the things that you put out on social media. Where did your interest or your desire to put out those messages and to speak up on rights issues come from?
Well, I grew up in a feminist household with my mum and my sister and my uncle, and they're all quite political and loud. And I guess I was taken to my first protest when I was around 7 years old, and it was an anti-arms protest. And I guess I've always been around people that have been very strong and vocal about what needs to be right in the world or righted, or what they think is fair. And I guess I've always just been that person. I don't think I've even thought about when I became that person or why I find the need to do it. I think I also have experiences that make me see the world in a different way.
Do you enjoy pushing boundaries?
I don't. I think boundaries are subjective, and I guess a lot of the work I do or have done, or the way I live my life, people might say is boundary pushing, but to me it's just regular. It doesn't feel like I'm pushing anything. I'm just being,
just
or
being
doing
you.
Or making whatever I like to make. And it doesn't feel like it's to me, it doesn't feel like it's out there boundary pushing, but boundaries are subjective. You might disagree, someone else might disagree.
Indeed. You have a really diverse artistic portfolio: performance, live art, theatre, now stand-up comedy. Tell us a little bit about, because I feel quite, I feel like a bad gay for not knowing about the Cocoa Butter Club. But tell us about what the Cocoa Butter Club is and what your involvement is.
So the Cocoa Butter Club is a cabaret performance night by and for Indigenous and or people of colour. It was started in the UK by my friend Sadie Sinner and myself and Danny Boy, who's a drag activist and community organiser, produced the one in Australia. They've actually got a show coming up at Nocturnal during midsummer. And it's sort of a night where, I guess, as like performers of colour and marginalised performers, we felt a bit, especially in cabaret, we felt a bit like we weren't represented enough, or that we were often one like black or brown person in the lineup of like there's 20 other people and they were all white or straight or cis or whatever it is. And it almost felt like we had to do acts that were very particular for those audiences to get us. For example, we had to capitalize on our trauma, or we had to either whitewash everything we were doing or go the other way where everything would be about our identity and being brown. And so I guess it was a night that was set up so that Indigenous and performers of colour, specifically queer performers, women performers, Aboriginal performers, disabled performers, could come and do something, whatever they wanted, without having these external boundaries on what their art was saying or what kind of art they were making. So it's a night, it runs often. I guess it's a queer night, loads of queer people come to it, but it's also open to anyone to attend. But we say that it's by and for people of colour. White people are welcome to come and be allies.
And that was trans performer and activist Krishna Isthar.
Such a positive person, and I think that really comes through in the shows, that whole idea of, you know, we've seen enough of the tragedy and those sorts of things. I'm going to put the stories out there that show a bit more reality, a bit more positivity for the trans community and the Indigenous community with the Cocoa Butter Club.
Yeah. And since you go away, long since away, I would say somewhat sort of normalise the sort of, they're just performers, and there's not, you know, necessarily this label identity of, like the way he was describing pushing the boundaries, or not feeling that he was pushing the boundaries, just performing,
doing,
just being and performing.
And I love that the first protest that they attended was at 7 years old. I mean, that sort of says something about the level of, I guess, acceptance and openness of their family to,
yes,
sort of, you know, if you see something that's not right, well, stand up and let it be known.
Yes, exactly.
This is Worldwide Wave. Tonight we're in India.
I'm Kylie Minogue, also known as Kylie from Camberwell, and I'm a proud Joy member, number 285.
Every man who ever sees me wants to hold my hand and be the one who gets me to see, oh, I do. These were eternal and they
blind devotion. Yes, I swear that they will love me forever, love me true. But I don't need a shining star, and I don't want to be rescued. No, neither from my charming prince, nor my summer's barbecue. I want a cheeky wiggy with you, boy. I want a cheeky wiggy with you.
And that was Cheeky Wiggy by Kylie Minogue and many
a cast
other
of others.
Artists.
Yeah,
cast of others. Very Indian sound, I can tell you, after just coming back.
Loved it. Just had that that beat, you know.
The music from that country is so rich and diverse. It's quite astounding and very catchy.
Now, another place you can find out about lots of things like music is the upcoming radio training course here at Joy.
Exactly. I've done it.
I've done it too. We've all done it. It's actually a really good, interesting, insightful course. Very comprehensive. It runs over 8 weeks, one session a week. It takes place here at our studio, so you not only learn, but you get to practice. You get to come in and use the studios and try things out. The course covers things like writing for radio, media law, and the various codes we need to work within, how to operate the studio, interviewing.
I found that particularly interesting, interviewing skills. There's quite an art to being a good interviewer, as I've learned.
And presenting, editing, producing, and even a bit of critiquing of your own skills. So there's actually three different courses coming up starting in February, one on Tuesday night, 6 till 9, one on Thursday night, 6 till 9, and one on Saturdays from 9 a.m. to 12 noon. If you've got an interest in international LGBTI affairs, you can come on our show even.
And yes, indeed. And so if you have any interest in those courses, go to just email courses@joy.org.au to inquire about how to enrol, or go to a website itself and you'll find details there.
joy.org.au.
Exactly. Radio training courses.
And we're talking tonight India and all things India. We have heard a lot from our guest Krishna Isna about Krishna the person, and now we asked Krishna to brag about their show in Midsummer. It's called Beast, and it's not to be missed.
Beast is a kind of part stand-up comedy, part performance art. For the reasons I said earlier, I come from a performance art background, and I felt like I wanted to make something that was a bit more accessible to an audience, especially because the show it's kind of a comedy show about all things trans. And like I was saying earlier, I feel like often depictions of like trans characters or trans art in theatre or TV or whatever it is often capitalizing on our trauma. It's a little bit like, oh, look, there's a sad trans person and, you know, suicide, death, etc. And, oh, but they've come out the other side and it's all fine. And I felt like there's more to our life than trauma, really, and the way other people depict us in these stories. And I was really keen to make a comedy show that was just purely funny from start to finish, because I felt like we needed to laugh too. It's almost like, you know, when queer people are like, oh, we just want a sitcom, like a funny, like Friends for queer people. It's like, you just want to be able to see something that's funny and entertaining that you don't really want to think about. You don't want to think about how other things might be trash in the world. So it's a little bit of a comedy show about all things funny that's trans. It's a little bit about my experience of learning to be trans masculine and what that means in this world right now, what it means to walk through the world as a man, but also being feminist and trans and learning to unlearn all these toxic ideas of masculinity. Yeah, that's kind of what it is. It's a comedy show, really.
Sounds fantastic. You've sold me. Krishna Isna, performing in the show Beast in Midsummer. Thank you very much for joining us on Worldwide Wave.
Thank you for having me.
Love it.
Yes.
Love it.
So the show right around the corner for me. I must get tickets.
You should, yeah. 31st of January to the 2nd of February at Arts House, North Melbourne Town Hall. Tickets at midsummer.org.au. The other very timely issue that's up at the moment in terms of trans rights in India, there's a bill going through the parliament, or it started in the parliament over there, called the Prohibition of Rights Bill.
Strange name.
It is. They've kind of tried to make it look like it's a anti-discrimination bill, but the local trans community is quite up in arms about it. It has lots of deficits. It passed the lower house, and it's only because of protests and quite a bit of outrage from the community that it seems to have stalled. They can't quite fit it into the agenda on the upper house.
No, it's because it's essentially they claim, I mean, the proponents of this of law, that it provides the right of every human being able to choose their gender. However, the community itself is concerned because, you know, they have to go through various things to do that. They have to sort of declare. You know, they have to prove that they have or have not the specific gender through examinations in order to get this sort of recognition. And part of the bill also, very worryingly, is restricting certain professions, so to speak, or certain activities by the Hijra community.
The two key ones are it criminalises begging and it criminalises sex work. And for the Hijra community, that for many of them, that is their livelihood. It is the way they get some
and
money to live.
And they don't do that necessarily.
It's not by choice.
They're much a marginalised group. They're kind of kept in Indian society as something you bring entertainment for your weddings. And then the rest of the time, sex work, as you say, and they're seen, and then you see them on the. I saw them on the trains, and they develop a sort of bad reputation because they're seen as very demanding when they beg. But it's like, what do you do when you're a marginalised group and you're forced into professions? They're not allowed. You know, they're very unlikely to get jobs in other areas due to discrimination.
We'll keep an eye on that one and see where it goes. You're on Worldwide Wave.
Receive LGBT news from around the world throughout the week. Like Worldwide Wave on Facebook now.
Kibu Imports is a unique indoor-outdoor furniture and homeware store on the Mornington Peninsula. Large direct importers of umbrellas, indoor-outdoor furniture, rattan and rugs. Get that relaxed feeling and look for your holiday house for less from Kibu Imports. Open 7 days at 1 Colchester Road, Rosebud.
Joy sponsor.
On Sunday the 3rd of February, Joy is broadcasting live from Midsummer Pride March. 10:30 to 1:30, join David and Sue as they call all the action.
Welcome, David.
Happy Midsummer, Susan.
So excited. I feel the buzz of the crowd.
Dan Gay from Morning Glory will be in amongst the pride, roaming the ground and speaking to you.
Oh, hells yeah. We'll just
just outside. They were hosing down the public toilets. The day is starting off right.
That's Sunday, the 3rd of February from 10:30 to 1:30. Joy, broadcasting live from Midsummer Pride March.
Hi, I am Tim.
And I'm Ben.
From Hallam, Melbourne.
And you are listening to the World Wide Wave.
On Joy 94.9.
A big thank you to our guest tonight, Krishna Isna, performer, live artist and now stand-up comedian coming to Melbourne for Beast, a part of the Midsummer Festival, which Joy is very proud to be a supporter of. The show Beast runs from January 31 to February 2 at Arts House, North Melbourne Town Hall. Tickets and information from midsummer.org.au.
And as mentioned earlier, you can also find out more about the Cocoa Butter Club here in Melbourne at thecocoabutterclub.com.au.
.com/au,
sorry,
actually.
Slash
that one's slightly,
that's
slightly different.
One, yeah, sorry, slash.
Big thank you to everybody on Facebook who's messaged us throughout the week. Roy, Leslie, Hope, Brett, William, there's a heap more. Join us. We'll send you news throughout the week. Thanks to Paul for the music. Alex, you do a great job on our podcasts. And big wave to our social media master, Dean, all overseas in New York, keeping things flowing for us. Now, we need a bit more Indian-inspired music to take us out tonight.
Again, not by an Indian artist.
Not by an Indian artist, but Indian, you know, Bollywood-inspired, we should say.
There's
actually
a theme there. You'll know what we mean.
So we've got Heartbeat by Enrique Iglesias, and we will catch you next week on the World Wide Wave.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to another podcast of Worldwide Wave, the show that takes you around the globe, one country at a time. Worldwide Wave is the international news and current affairs show on Australia's LGBT radio station. You can listen live every Tuesday night from 7 Eastern Australia time on 94.9 FM in Melbourne or online at joy.org.au. You'll find all our podcasts at joy.org.au/worldwidewave or follow us on Facebook for the latest international LGBT news. Search W3 Joy on Facebook now.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.